Father, I thank you, Lord, as always. We declare that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to this simple. Hallelujah. And I pray, Lord, the Bible says the word of the Lord is not bound. Glory to God. Our word cannot be bound. You must go forward. Thank you, Jesus. Let your word be released this morning to flow into our hearts. Give us revelation and understanding. Open our ears, Lord, to hear and our eyes to see and our hearts to understand what it is that the Lord is speaking, even at this time, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Lord, because you prayed and said, Father, I thank you because you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent. And many kings and righteous men and prophets and so forth desire to look into these things. But God has given them unto babes, even at this time. For so it pleased it, Father, to do. And we thank you for counting us worthy to receive of the Lord's hand, even this understanding that you're bringing unto us at this time. For now, we understand that we are indeed the sons of God. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. While continuing on our series on the manifestation and unveiling of the sons of God. Yesterday, I went into the lesson on the anatomy of the sons of God, what they look like. Even though I say they, it's us, really. You know, put yourself in the mix and look at the attributes of what God says about his sons. And son here is genderless. It just means offspring. That's right. Offspring of the Lord. So whether male or female, it doesn't really matter. We're still called sons of God. You know, praise God. That's what we are, and that's what the world is waiting for. We've been reading and talking about that out of Romans chapter 18 and verse 19. The earnest expectation of the creation waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. I'm waiting. Well, they won't wait too long. Now, you know, God's going to meet that expectation. Earnest, he said, expectation. I'm waiting for it. It's coming. And once we begin to get our understanding, we spoke about understanding being a major factor. It's a, you know, it's something that a knowledge, you know, knowledge is key. What God is trying to say to us, we must know these things. I'm going to talk about knowledge a little bit before I continue on the anatomy of the sons of God. Knowledge is so important. The scriptures talk about it. The prophets talk about it. The apostles, they wrote about it. You know, here's some of the things that they said. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. I know how knowledge is so important. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That's how important it is. If you don't know something, well, the devil will get advantage over you. And he also says, well, there's some people, on the other hand, that actually reject the knowledge. Yeah. Some people don't know because they don't know. Some people have opportunity to know, but they reject it. Well, either way, this verse calls it out. It said, those that reject knowledge, it said, because thou hast rejected knowledge, I also will reject thee. Now, we don't want that. And I shall be no priest unto me. Yeah, we don't want that too, because the Lord said we are a royal priesthood. We don't want to lose our priesthood or our bishopric because of rejecting the word of the Lord. And he said, well, seeing that I have forgotten the law of the Lord, now this one is a dangerous one. So if you forget the law of the Lord, I also will forget your children. Wow. You know, so let's take heed now. Knowledge is not only key, but the lack of it can bring us great losses. And so, you know, we must, listen to and learn from the Lord. And, you know, Moses and all these people, they wanted to know the Lord. You know, let me know you. Show me thy way, Lord, that I may know thee. Moses prayed. Paul prayed the same prayer, that I may know him. and the power, you know, of his resurrection. And, you know, and in many of his prayers for the early disciples, you know, some of them converts, he always prayed that you may be filled with the knowledge of God and filled with the fullness of God. You know, these are, you know, the knowledge of the Lord, so key in what we must learn and know from the Lord. Let me read some of his prayers to us. Ephesians 1, verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love unto all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That's so key, that the eyes of your understanding will be enlightened, that you may know, acknowledge again, so important, that you may know the hope of his calling, and that you may know what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, what it is all about, that you may know the exceeding greatness of his power towards world, you know, who have believed according to the working of his mighty power. You know, he wants us to know all these things. You know, this is what, you know, the Lord has said in this word. And this is a prayer that, Paul was praying. And he prayed a similar prayer again in chapter 3 of the same book of Ephesians. And he prayed, you know, that we may gain knowledge. He said, for this cause I bow my knees. This is verse 14 of Ephesians 3. Unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he will grant unto you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend, that's that knowledge, understand it, with all these saints, what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ. We pass that knowledge. You can't get it, human knowledge. The Holy Spirit can reveal it to you, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Hallelujah. So that's, that knowledge is the portal to that. The knowledge of the Holy, the knowledge of God, the knowledge of the Son of God. In this same book of Ephesians, it goes on in chapter 4 to talk about, you know, you might call the evolving, you know, of the children of God, the way they evolve and eventually come to the fullness. You know, he talked about, you know, the ministry gifts that Christ gave. Now, he said, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now, he that ascended, Ephesians 4 and 9, what is he but that he also descended first to the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come, all of us together, in the knowledge of the faith. I mean, the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. We got to know him. Unto, you know, that brings us unto that knowledge of who Christ is what brings us unto perfection. You know, brings us unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, God doesn't want us to have partial. Partial is what we've been having all these years and centuries. But this is the goal, coming to the fullness 100%, not 30, not 60, but 100% of the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Well, you really can't measure Christ, but if you could, well, that's what God wants you to have. Praise the Lord. And so we'd be no more children. You know, in other words, you know, if you are not evolving into this posture or role or outlook that God is talking about concerning this thing here, then we will remain as children. You know, so he wants us to evolve. Hallelujah. Evolve into, you go from glory to glory. And, you know, coming into, you know, the more and more of the likeness of Christ. The Holy Spirit is the one that's doing the work, pressing us. You know, I call it pressing us into a more accurate likeness of the Lord. You know, he's the one that's doing the work. The thought of the mind of the Father was to make us in his image like the Christ. We've talked about that multiple times. So that Christ will be the firstborn among many brethren. Romans chapter 8, you know, it reveals the what God intended for us. In that, you know, you read that in connection with Genesis 1:26. You see, you know, what God had in mind. You know, well, in order for us to come into be in his image and likeness, the path to get there is to evolve into the likeness of the Christ. You know, getting there day by day, it's being changed, you know, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, you know, and verse 18. We're changed, you know, looking, we're changed into the same image. You know, remember, that they may come in the image and likeness of the Christ. And now, you know, we're being changed into that same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So it is the Spirit of God that's pressing us to a more accurate reflection of Christ's image. That's right. You can't do it on your own. None of us can do it on our own. But the Lord has given the Holy Spirit, you know, to us to help us get there. And we must, through revelation of the Word of God, that's how he does it. It brings the knowledge that is couched, the mysteries that were hidden. God begins to unveil them. It's nothing new. It's just unveiling, you know, and revealing these things so that we can become more and more like him every day. Listen, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. By now, you should know this verse by memory because we've quoted it so many times, but it's so key to this lesson. Romans 8 and 29. This was what God pre-planned, that we will be conformed to the image of the Christ. We're going to be like Christ. That's it. He said it. It was in his mind. He determined it before anything. Predestinated. Predetermined where you're going. Your final destination is the image of his son. Glory to God. You know, it's also called the most holy place. That's a place of, you know, one-on-one union with him. And that's what we will be. And so he, Christ, will be the firstborn among many brethren, the blueprint, so to speak. You want to see what we should be like? Well, we look at the Christ. So that's why we're doing this lesson. And once we understand that, and it's not just for us to look, you know, and then walk away and not know, you know, what to do with it. You know, let's not be a forgetful hearer, you know, of the word. Because that's not a good thing if we are a forgetful hearer of the word. You hear the word of God At first you say, well, you know, that sounds really good. And then what? You know, God doesn't want that. You know, the book of James, he talks about that. He said, look, be ye therefore doers of the word. James chapter 1 and verse 22. We want to be doers of this word, not just hearers stuff. You know, the forgetful hearers are described in the parable of the sower. You know, at first, you know, he said, well, you know, they received the word with joy and everything. You know, but there's no root and there is no time for meditation on that word. So, you know, eventually certain things choke the thing out of them and they soon forget, you know, and then there's a great loss. Be ye therefore doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If any man be a hearer of the word, but not a doer, this is James chapter 1 now, verse 23. Well, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. You look in the mirror. Well, remember I said we're looking in the mirror. We're being changed. That's from the glory to glory. 2 Corinthians 3 and 18. You put that, marry that with this scripture right here. You see that, you know, when you're looking in the mirror, you have to do something about it. He said, this man looks in the mirror, you know, he sees, but then he goes straight away and forgot what he saw. Who does that? We have a mirror in our house. You know, when you're dressed, getting dressed, you stand in front of the mirror, you check out your tie or this or that. The women, they check out their makeup, their face, that this. I mean, some people spend a lot of time in front of that mirror. Well, nobody looks at that mirror. You see that something needs to be fixed and just walk away and not fix it. I mean, what good is that mirror then? You know, so when we look, when we allow the Holy Spirit to help us to fix it, the Word of God is that mirror. It shows us what we should be like. And we need to submit ourselves to that pressing. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will press you through, you know, some things. Maybe he allows some difficulties, some challenges, and this and that. You know, it's part of the pressing. You know, it will press you here, press you there, you know, so that you come out the more accurate likeness of the Christ. Remember, you know, in the book of Jeremiah chapter 18, the Lord spoke to the prophet and said, you know, I want you to go down to the potter's house. I'm going to show you the word of the Lord when you get there. So he goes down to the potter's house. And when he got there, he found the potter was making, well, what does the potter do? Potter makes pottery. So he took some clay and was molding the thing, we're told. And, you know, but, you know, the pottery, sometimes the thing is bent out of shape. You got to remold it. You got to do this and do that. It takes a while to get it into shape. Well, sometimes it gets even marred. It's all messed up. So the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and I will cause you to hear my words. And so he went down to the potter's house, and behold, I saw the potter, he wrought a rod, walk on the wheels. Jeremiah 18, you know, and in verse 4, he said, the vessel that the potter was making of clay was marred. That means messed up, got bent out of shape in the hand of the potter. So he made it again. See? Into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. He didn't throw it away. He just bent it again. It's got messed up. He started over. He will fix that thing until it comes out looking like he wants it. He got an image in his mind of what he wants it to look like. So when he's making it, sometimes the thing gets messed up and keeps making it. He makes it again. Hallelujah. And, I call that the Holy Ghost makeover. And when he does, when he's doing some of that in our lives, maybe sometimes it's not pleasant. But look for the end result of what the Lord is doing. So today, I bring to you the word of the Lord again to show us some other reflection of Christ that the sons of God should be like. I picked this up where I left off yesterday. I said I had about 25 characteristics to call out for the sons of God. I went through 1 through 10. And I'm going to pick up where I left off. And we talked about, you know, they are foreknown by God and called according to his eternal purpose. That's number one. They are made in heaven and assembled on the earth. That's number two. They are called the children of promise and not after the flesh. That's number three. And they will receive Christ and be given power to become sons of God. That's number four. Born by the will of God, not the will of man or the flesh. Number five, they will be one with Christ, even as Christ is one with the Father. Number six, you know, just like Christ is in the world, that's the way they will be. You know, what Christ did, they can do. Jesus said it himself. Number seven, the sons of God will be filled with the Spirit and be led by the Spirit. That's why they will be identified as sons of God. Number eight, just like Christ, you know, they will also receive the fullness of God. We just read that in Ephesians. And then number nine, say, well, they're one with the Holy Spirit and bear the fruit of the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. This, you know, above everything else shows, you know, what's inside of them. Jesus said, well, by their fruit, you will know them. Number 10, they hear and obey God's voice and they follow him, keep his words and do his commandments. And then Jesus said that himself, my sheep follow me and they follow nobody else. So we covered those 10 yesterday. Now, here is today's portion of the lesson. Number 11. I talked about the so-called fivefold ministries. Well, whereas their role is to produce sons of God, we talked about that yesterday, and we just read it in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13. You know, the role of those ministries are apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Their role is to bring the sons of God to maturity. We just read it. You know, in comparison, the role of the sons of God, once they arrive, in comparison, their role is to advance the kingdom of God and the rulership of God upon the earth. That's their role. Genesis 1, 26 to 28. You know, that was what God intended. He said, well, you know, put a man there and let him bring everything into alignment, subdue everything, have dominion, put everything in alignment. Advance the purposes of God. Colonize the earth. That's what he wanted to do. Praise God. You know, so that's the role of the sons of God. When you compare it with the role of the ministerial offices that are supposed to produce the sonship, well, once the sonship company arrives, their role, they will understand their role in the kingdom. Their role is to advance the kingdom of God, the rulership of God upon the earth. Not just sit around, wait to go to heaven. No. Their role is to advance the rulership, you know, subdue the earth. That's what the Lord told Adam. Number 12. The sons of God will represent the interests, only the interests of the Father and his kingdom, and not their own interests, just like Christ. You know, here are some scriptures for that. In John chapter 5, verses 19 and 30, Jesus made these declarations. The Son can do nothing of himself. What he sees the Father do, that he does likewise. That's John chapter 5, verses 19 and 30. He says pretty much the same thing in John chapter 6 and verse 38. You know, and I've called it out as a characteristic of the perfect ambassador. Christ, he said, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. You know, so that's, you know, that's how Christ functioned, and that's how the sons of God will also function. John chapter 7. Verses 16 to 18, Jesus was talking about the same similar things. So we read this in the life of Christ so that we'll know how we ought also to function. He said, my doctrine is not my own, but he's that sent me. So sons of God, they're not going to preach themselves. They're not going to preach their own thing. I'm going to preach the doctrine of the one that sent them. That's what the ambassador does. And the ambassador doesn't have his own agenda. You know, I have to follow the agenda of the sending country or the country that he belongs to. And so Jesus said that also. And, you know, he also reveals here that someone that speaks of himself rather than, you know, portraying the message as he was sent, but they choose to speak of themselves, they seek their own glory. But he that seeketh the glory of him that sent him, the same is true. And there is no unrighteousness in him. And so, in all our doings, we must seek the glory of God. This is what sets the sons of God apart. Also, verses 28 to 29 of that same John 7, you know, Jesus talked about the same kind of things. You know, he said, well, you know, I came not of myself, but he that sent me is true. And, you know, I know him and I am from him and he sent me. And so we can say the same thing, because did not Jesus say that in John chapter 20 and verse 21? Did he not say that? As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Well, God sent Jesus, and he always saying what the Father said and doing what the Father showed him. Well, he sent us, and we must all be doing what he's saying and doing, and you know, what he's doing. It's the same thing. Same qualities that are in Christ must be found and will be found in the sons of God at the end. You know, and John chapter 12, you know, verse 49 and 50, it talks about, I mean, it reveals the same thing over and over again. And we must learn to be the same, just like Christ was. He said, you know, again, referring to the fact that the Father has sent me, say, he that believeth on me, you know, I mean, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. So he's taking himself out of the picture. Look, you believe in me, but you are really believing on the one that sent me, because I'm not here to represent myself. I'm here to represent he that sent me. Powerful. And you know, and he said, well, I am come as a light into the world, that whosoever should believe in me should not abide in darkness. You know, so this is it. If you see me, I said, you see he that sent me. All right. So let's analyze that for a minute. You know, if you see me, you see he that sent me. Let's analyze that for a minute. Well, that means that we are a reflection of him, and the way that the world will see God is actually through us. Praise the Lord. You know, that's it. The world cannot see God. The Holy Spirit cannot be received by the world, but we demonstrate what he looks like to the world. And that's how they must see God through us. Praise the Lord. So he goes on to say, look, I have not spoken of myself in verse 49, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. I mean, how many times is Christ going to say this thing? He never would say anything of himself. But what the Father sent him to say, that he would say. What he sent him to do, that he would do. Now, this is exactly the way that we, the sons of God, must function. The Holy Spirit is now to us what the Father was to Christ. And now, so the Holy Spirit tells us, and we do. That's exactly. Can't do your own thing. Yeah, you know, you got to do what the Holy Spirit says. Even as the Father said, you know, to me, so I speak, Jesus said. So, that's another characteristic of the sons of God. They will speak only his word. Hallelujah. They will not speak anything else. Only what the word of God says. That's it. Now, there is the written word, and there's also the spoken word. First, we align with the written word. Yeah, you can't, you know, claim the spoken word if you are not following the written word. You follow the written word. Then if you tell me something else, I check it against the written word. If that's okay, then we'll, you know, believe. But if you are not following the written word, which is, you know, the logos, you can't lay claim to the rhema. You know, you got to follow the written word. What God's already written in this Bible, no other inspiration will be if it comes from God, will be contrary to it. So we follow that. Now, number 13. Sons of God know who they are in Christ, and they will not be after vainglory or titles. That's right. They're not about titles. Christ was not about titles. In fact, you know, he made himself of no reputation, we're told. He took upon himself the form of a servant. My goodness. You can read about him in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 to 9. Let this mind be also in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, wasn't grabbing at anything, trying to make himself of something. No, but he made himself of no reputation whatsoever. You know, and he took upon him the form of a servant. You know, became, you know, the likeness of man. Are you kidding? Yeah. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Even a shameful and accursed death of the cross. You know, for, you know, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. And look at what God did for him in return. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him. Well, so the road to this high exaltation was the emptying of himself and humbling himself under the mighty hand of God. Likewise also we, in order for us to be glorified, must humble ourselves, you know, and empty ourselves and let the Holy Spirit be the one that's doing. That's the way to get there. Now, these sons of God at the end will not be concerned about titles. Here's what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, you know, verses 7 to 10, talking about accolades and things that we've, you know, achieved and so forth. He said, what things were gained to me, as I count loss for Christ. That's right. Yeah. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge. That's that knowledge again. The excellency of the knowledge of Christ, Jesus, my Lord, for whom I suffered the loss of all things. You know, it's this thing. Nothing meant anything to him once he discovered Christ. Praise God. And, you know, I count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him. That's that knowledge again. The power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Well, you cannot have one without the other. Suffering for Christ is a part of this journey. And Paul was talking about it here. Even conformable unto his death. You know, Christ died. You know, I'm willing to give my life. I don't care. You know, somebody told him, well, don't go there. You're going to be bound up. And so he said, I don't care. I'm ready to even die. You know, so he said, look, if by any means I'm attained, I want, you know, I press forward. Not that I've already attained. Neither were already perfect, but I follow after. And I may apprehend. That's that know again. Knowledge. Understand. That which also I'm apprehended of Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things that lie behind, I'm reaching forward to those things that are before. I press toward the mark, the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Well, as many of you as therefore be perfect, let us be thus minded, and so on. I mean, this is the same rule that he's asking us to follow. Don't, you know, think of any achievement or anything as if it is anything. You know, put everything down that you may gain Christ all. You know, so they would, you know, these folks, the sons of God at the end, of which company we are a part, you and I, one characteristic that will be, you know, prevalent in them is that they will not care about titles. It's not about being called an apostle, a prophet, or pastor, or this and that. You may be so. I mean, you know, if you are so, you are so. I mean, it's not, you know, I mean, Paul said, look, I mean, in the people in Corinth, they were challenging Paul at one time whether he was a real apostle, because they said, look, you did all these things against the church, you know, so we question your credentials. And Paul said, well, okay, you know, I'm going to tell you, you know, you were the fruit of my apostleship. I may not be an apostle to others, but to you, definitely. You know, because, you know, I've done all these things among you. I brought you up in the Lord and these things. I mean, so proving what he was doing, you know, some people just like the title. They won't do anything, but they want the title. You know, like to be called apostle. Well, are you doing the work? Like to be a prophet? Well, are you doing it? You want to be a pastor? Call the pastor. Are you doing it? Praise God. You know, so, but that they won't care too much about titles. They want to glorify the Lord. Listen to this in Revelation 4, verses 10 to 11. Here is a cross-section of, you know, what the sons of God will look like. These are some people there that had already made it. And they're waiting for, you know, the rest of us. But what is it that they are doing? Well, that's what they did in Revelation 4, verse 10. He said, what? The 420 elders fell down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne. See, you don't wear your crown when you're in front of the throne. Your crown is nothing. And so they put those things down. Hallelujah. And said, thou, O Lord, art worthy to receive honor and power and glory and everything. Thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. But they cast their crowns down. You know, and so that tells us how we must live and how we must function. Number 14, despite this, no title and all that stuff, they still understand there is ranking in the kingdom. They understand it. Yeah, but they're not seeking for it, but they understand it. And they will not break their ranks. Because Joel chapter 2, verses 7 to 8, predicts what they will look like. You know, he said, look, this great company of people that's coming, they're going to function together as a one unit. They're not going to jostle for position. You know, they function together. And they're not going to break their ranks. You know, they'll function. You know, they're not trying to be what God didn't make them to be. I mean, the hand is not trying to be the foot. The foot is not trying to be the head and all that stuff. You know, they will function together as one unit. They shall run like mighty men, he says in Joel chapter 2 and verse 7. They shall climb up the wall like men of war. They shall march everyone in his own ways, and they shall not break their ranks. Well, they're not jostling for position. They will not, neither shall they thrust another, walk everyone in his own path. They're not jostling for position. They don't care about that stuff. Even though they understand that there is ranking. Praise God. And God's the one that does the ranking. So be it. You know, but, you know, if the Lord gives them a commander, they follow. God said to, you know, David, I've made him a commander to my people. You know, so God raised him up, people follow. God raised somebody up, you know. Paul said, well, follow me as I follow Christ. But, you know, Paul himself knows that he's nothing except by God. And he puts everything down in order for him to gain Christ. And that's the way it must be. Praise the Lord. Now, so they understand that. Now, for the sons of God, number 15, it's not about, you know, aspiring, and it won't be, aspiring to hold a microphone or to be on stage. You know, our target or the target should be out among the people. You know, that's an interesting story in Acts chapter 6. You know, in this Acts chapter 6, of course, the early church, the apostles, the first apostles were busy doing the work of God. And then they were also, people were selling things, bringing, and they were dividing to people and so on and so forth. And some widows and others were complaining that they were being left out. And so there'd be, apostles were being pulled on every side, you know, preach the word and do all this handling of other matters like feeding the widows and stuff and sharing out the property and all that. So I said, look, you know, enough of that already. We need to give ourselves to prayer and to the word. And you look out for yourself, seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom that we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves unto prayer continually and to the ministry of the word. So this thing pleased the multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip and five others. Now, this same Stephen, who was chosen to be, well, maybe serve tables, you know, when the fullness of the Holy Spirit, remember I said they were full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. And read that about Stephen in Acts chapter 6, verse 5. It was full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Now, when the sons of God are full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, this is what they would do. It wouldn't matter whether they are giving the microphone or not. They recognize that their role is out there in the marketplace among the people. And so let's see what this Philip did. I mean, sorry, this Stephen. When they had prayed, they laid their hands on these folks, and the word of God increased, and the number of disciples were multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of priests were obedient, even the priests and so forth, they began to be obedient to the faith. Now, Stephen, in Acts chapter 6, verse 8, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Well, you might think that Stephen was going to be relegated to some kind of background, forgotten, he was served tables. He served the tables. He did minister to the widows and shared, you know, and took care of their needs, just like he said. Well, when that was done, he went out among the people and demonstrated the power of God. And this is what the sons of God will be. It won't matter whether you are the one preaching on the stage or not. The world will be their stage. Hallelujah. The marketplace went out among the people. And he wasn't one of the apostles. But yet, he did exactly the same things that the apostles were doing. He went out among the people and did great wonders and miracles among the people. Now that's the sons of God. That's what they look like. You know. Well, likewise also Philip. These were two of the seven. Philip also in chapter 8 of Acts. Yeah, Philip also went down to, you know, a place, a city called Samaria. You know, and when he got there, did great things also, just like Stephen did. Now, listen to this. In verse Acts chapter 8, you know, and let's see from verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word of the Lord. And this Philip, this was the Philip that was chosen as one of the seven to serve widows. This Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. He didn't say, well, I'm not one of the preachers. No, well, you are always a preacher. When you are in this sonship group, you are always a preacher. Got the Holy Ghost. He went down, you know, to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things that Philip spoke. Why? Hearing and seeing the miracles that he did. This Philip was doing miracles. And I tell you what, he was casting out devils. He was doing, just been preaching the word. He said, unclean spirits crying out with loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them. Many paralyzed people taken with palsies, they were healed. Those that were lame were healed. I mean, there was great joy in that city. One man who was not even an apostle, he wasn't even a prophet, he wasn't anything. you might call him, but you know, he understood his role. Was full of Holy Ghost and power. He went down and shook a whole city. One man. Now, this is what the sons of God will look like. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have been selling yourself short, well, I'm not an apostle. I'm not a preacher. I'm not even a pastor. I can't do these things. Of course you can. Praise the Lord. You see here, two of them here we've seen, you know, that did these things. So that's what the sons of God, you know, would look like. Number 16, they are seated in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. And they are learning their role in the kingdom and dominion. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6 reveals this concept. You know, it's something that we're learning. We're learning it now. We're understanding that, you know, this is where we belong, you know. It says, you know, God has quickened us together with Christ when we were dead in sins. He has quickened us and raised us up together and made us to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're already seated there. It's not that we're going to sit. We are there already. So we are in two realms at once, the sons of God. They are in the realm of the earth. They are also in the spiritual realm. Just like Adam. Adam was put in there, but he had governance, you know, and from the realm of the spirit. And he governed and dominated everything. But we also, that was before the fall. We also now, we're still, even though we are still on the earth and so forth like that, but we are seated already in heavenly places. If you can recognize that, and know your duality, then you know that you can function from the heavens and reign, you know, in this life. Praise God. Now, that's what was described here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, and it matches Genesis 1 and 26. Matches what God had in mind. This is how the sons of God will function. Listen to this also in Psalm 149, you know, how they will have dominion, power to execute, you know, some tremendous things against principalities and powers. Sons of God will. Listen to this. Psalm 149, you know, let's read from verse 5, what the psalmist said. And they also, the sons of God also know how to, you know, praise the Lord. It's a powerful weapon, praising the Lord. You know, he said, you know, let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth. You know, so they got the praise going, and they got a sharp two-edged sword going as well. Well, to execute vengeance, you know, it's a dominion upon the heathen, punishments upon the people, bind their kings. And this is demonic binding, you know, binding the demonic spirits or spiritual binding of the demonic spirits, bind their kings with chains and nobles with fetters of iron, execute their judgment written, dishonor of all the saints, you know, dominion. Hallelujah. God gives it to them. So we begin to understand this. You say, well, but, you know, I can't do this. Sure you can. You can't because you don't have knowledge that you can. And the devil doesn't want you to know that you can. So he tells you, you can't. And then, you know, once you believe that you can't, then you can't. You know, I mean, that's what the children of Israel said. We can't hear this voice. Well, they would say, well, yeah, you will not hear my voice. Then he withdrew from them because they withdrew from him. When they said, well, we can't do this, we can't do that, well, God said, then you won't. They said, well, we can't go in there. There's giants all over the place. We can't conquer them. Well, God said, then you won't. Then you'll die in the wilderness. You know, so when you say you can't do something that God already said you can do and that you should go forward and do, then all of a sudden you find out the negative happens. These people say, we can't go in there. That's too, you know, these people are stronger than we. I mean, they'd be giants and we'd be like grasshoppers. And you can't do anything. God said, oh, really? Okay. Well, you will be grasshoppers then. And you will be, you know, destroyed. And you will know my breach of promise then. Because, you know, I told you to do something. I gave you the power and the authority and the word to do it. You say you can't do it, then you won't do it. You die in this wilderness. So now that's not where we want to be. What we want to be is declaring what God already said. This is what Jesus did all the time. Jesus said what his Father said about him. He said, this commandment I received of my Father to lay down my life and to take it again. He was always constantly declaring what he knew of the Father. And that's how we must be. So don't be saying, I can't do those things. I'm not a pastor. Sons of God, they need to grow into knowledge of who they are, really. Today, we got the, local assemblies and various things. And we got even congregations that meet virtually, like on this platform, such as Clubhouse, people meet and so forth. And there's some people that may be, I'm not talking about spiritual ranking from God. I'm talking about the ranking of the people within themselves, head above shoulders. Remember, Saul was head above shoulders among all the people. And he actually thought that he was better than everybody else. I call it the Saul anointing at the end. He thought he was better than everybody else. And there's a lot of people that think that they're better than everybody else and put themselves shoulders above everybody. You're not better than anybody. What is it that you have that you have not received? If you have received it, wherefore is boasting then? It's nothing. Nobody is better than another. It's a function. It's a role God has put you in. And if you don't understand that, but the people themselves, they also, are guilty of the same by association. Accomplice to the thing. When somebody is doing the wrong thing and we are, supporting that wrong thing, then you're an accomplice to the crime. So the crime of putting people above everybody else, that some people make themselves to be above others, and the people that follow them, you do that, they're all guilty of the same. Nobody is above. Bible says you are all brethren, all brethren. Jesus said that. So you're all brethren. Don't call yourself rabbi and this and that, Some people like to be that way, and they like to be above others. Well, the sons of God will recognize that that's not the right way to do things. Now, there may be ranking. God may, send a spiritual leader, but they know that Christ is the one. Christ is the one that's above all. He's the one that we must focus on, and he's the one that we must elevate. Nobody else. Can't elevate Christ. I mean, anybody above Christ. We give them honor. Bible says give honor to them, but we can't elevate them. Just honor them for the work they do. And that's good. Should honor them. But, the effect that this thing is having is that it makes people think that they can't do it. Only those elevated people can do it. Now, people think that they cannot hear from God. Only the prophet can get a prophetic word from them. For the Lord from them. This is what the children of Israel said. Say, okay. Then God will not speak to them then. See, God will not speak to you as long as you are still looking for a prophetic word from here and there and so forth. Because you think you can't do it yourself. But you can. When there's a sick person in your house, pray for them, heal them. You don't need to call the pastor. You don't need to call the pastor. You can if you want, and God will honor it, but you can do it too. Because the Bible says, these signs shall follow them that believe, not just the apostles or the prophets or pastors or whatever. Follow them. When you need prayer from your pastor next time, check yourself and realize that you can actually do this thing that you are wanting the pastor to pray for you about. That's right. So when you get a new house and you call the pastor to come and dedicate the baby, that's not really a pastoral thing. You, Holy Ghost is already in you. Dedicate the house. Holy Ghost is already in you. You can do it. You walk into that house, you carry Jesus already. Anointing of God is there. You don't need a pastor. You can call the pastor. And they do it too. But, if we keep thinking that we can't do these things, it's continue to be separation. Separation and separation. And this is the thing. The people removed far from God. They said, we can't do it. And then the people, the Levites and the priests and everybody else take advantage of that as well. It's called the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. you know, to divide and conquer the people. So, well, you guys, you know, they're not good enough. You stay out there. We are the ones that are here. And they put a veil, you know, between, you know, this place and that place. You guys can't come in here, you know. Who says? The veil has been rent. According to Matthew chapter 27, when Jesus died on the cross, the veil was rent from top to bottom. There's no more veil. Nobody can keep you out anymore. People would like to keep you out. You know, if they can keep you out, they, you know, God shows them something. And if they can make you think that you cannot have that same knowledge or understanding or revelation, then they have the power to, you know, to merchandise the thing, the gift of God. They say, well, you know, we are the prophets. We are the seers. You know, we are the ones that God will speak to. You know, so if you want to hear from God, you sow a seed. And God will tell you something. All of that thing, that's, you know, I don't even know what it is, but to call it golden calf nonsense. You know, you, the sons of God, you've got the power. You got the spirit of God. You know, you don't need anybody. You know, 1 John chapter 2 verse 27 will tell you. The anointing which you have received, that anointing abides in you. You don't need anybody to tell you anything. The anointing will tell you. Hallelujah. And you can develop yourself in the knowledge of the Son of God and be changed from glory to glory. That's by the good. Now, this kind of message or teaching can put a lot of people out of work. Maybe I'll put out some of these pastors and preachers and prophets and so forth out of work. And, you know, I'm a pastor too, but I'm not getting paid for doing this. I'm just doing it. You know, so that's why I can speak the truth. Because, you know, it doesn't matter. That people can't speak the truth if they know that they speak too much truth. You know, you sting the people and it'll hurt their wallet. Because people won't come and they won't pay you anymore. They won't give you that offering that you're looking for, that seed or whatever they call it. This whole thing is all tainted. It's a mess. Praise the Lord. Freely you have received and freely you must give. That's what Jesus said. So, but the, you know, the burden is actually on the people, not on the, you know, not on the people that call themselves whatever. It's on you. You are the one that giving them the power to have that power over you, because you think you can't hear from God on your own. And so you seek them out and then they take advantage of it. You can and you are hearing from God. Where God is where you are. We dealt on this series already. You and God are one. It's not, you know, you don't need to look for somebody else. God is in you already. And speak through you too. Praise God. And so, you know, when there are real teachers, this is what we must be teaching the people, pointing them to Christ, not pointing them to ourselves, you know, make, you know, so that you can be above the people. No, we'll point them to Christ. Every one of us must grow into the fullness of Christ. Everyone, not just the pastors and the apostles, everybody, you know, praise God. who is it that can baptize somebody? You know, is it only the pastor? And this is another fallacy that people think. Oh, you know, the pastor must baptize. Is that the ministry of pastor, you know, to baptize somebody? What did Jesus say? Go ye into all the world and baptize the people. It doesn't matter who you are. You have the Holy Ghost. You receive Christ. You know, you believe the Lord. You baptize the next person. Why is it only the pastor that can do it? Praise God. So. Pastors, you know, sons of God need to realize who they are. Once you begin to realize who you are, even in the area of healing the sick, Jesus said, go and heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, cast out devils, raise the dead. Everybody, not just apostles, prophets, or pastors. Everybody can do it. Praise God. So, well, this may be kind of strange, because we're not used to hearing this kind of thing. You're not used to hearing that you don't need your pastor to come and dedicate your baby. You can do it yourself. But the pastor will do it, you know, and God will honor it. But you can do it yourself. Praise God. You know, you don't need your pastor to come and pray over your new car.
You bless that car yourself. You know, you got the Holy Ghost. You don't need your pastor to come and dedicate your new house. You already got Christ. Christ is in that house. If you're there, Christ is there. Well, I mean, pastor will do it, but you know, you got to realize who you are. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, the sons of God will realize who they are and they begin to move into their role. They will realize that who they are in Christ. They're not ones that will walk away from the voice of God and say, we can't do that. Of course you can. Praise the Lord. So, it's got a few more points to go, but I'm going to stop there because there's one or two other things I want to say and dwell on this topic. I'll cover the rest maybe tomorrow. You know, but, you know, in this lesson that we're saying, you know, this is not to disrespect the true ministries. We're not disrespecting anybody, you know, and I'm not putting down, you know, these ministry gifts, you know. I mean, I'm a pastor myself. You know, people call me that, and so I am. But look, that means nothing. That's a title only if you're not doing the work. That's what we're saying here. You know, just the title doesn't mean anything. Go around, say, Pastor Yato, Pastor this, Pastor that. So what? You know, are you doing the work? You know, that's what really matters. You know, praise God. You know, so, but for us who are not pastors or prophets or apostles and so forth, well, you could be prophetic. So let me talk about that for a minute. You know, you can be, instead of looking for somebody to prophesy over you, you yourself can walk in the prophetic. Praise God. You know, and I remember in 2022, I started to teach that at the church. I was looking for the message that I would preach on the New Year's Day or whatever. The Lord said, well, this year we need to walk in the prophetic, you know, I started to teach that and stop looking for some prophetic word. You yourself start walking in the prophetic. All of us can be prophetic. Now, I'm not saying you can all be prophets, but I'm saying you can walk in the prophetic. The prophetic realm is the realm where you're communicating with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is communicating with you. It's sharing secrets. That's all. That's what prophetic is. You know, and some people think that they're the only ones that are entitled to that level of God sharing secrets. And then, you know, you think that they're the only one level too. They're not. You know, Jesus said the friend is the one that shares secret. If you are his friend, he shares secret with you. The prophetic is just the realm of friendship. That's all it is. Not even the realm of sonship. Friends is where you get the secret. Jesus said, look, the master does not tell his friends to the servant. I mean, secret to the servant. Servant doesn't know the will of the master, but he will share his thoughts with his friends. He says, so I don't call you servants anymore because I've showed you everything. So now you are my friends. And so friends is the realm where God shares secrets, which means that's the realm of the prophetic. That's what really the prophetic is. It's the realm in which God shares secrets. God said concerning Abraham, well, seeing that he's a man that loves the Lord and will order his house after the Lord, I know him. Shall I hold from him the thing that I would do? And did not God call him his friend? Yeah. The friend is the realm in which he shares secrets. So are you a friend? You know? Well, you're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. That's right. You want to be a friend of God? Well, do his commandments. And then he will share his secrets with you. So you don't have to be called a prophet. Listen, John said it. You know, Jesus said it and John wrote it in John chapter 14. You know, this is one of my favorite, you know, subjects about texts on this subject. And I've quoted it many times in this series. I'm going to read it to you again today. Think about it. Here's what Jesus said. It's not talking about prophets or apostles or pastors here. Here's what he said. John chapter 14 and verse 20. He said, at that day, today, you will know this. It's again this knowledge. You will know that I'm in the Father and you are in me and I in you. This fusion is where it's at, you know. It's not, you know, who, you know, what title. No, it's this relationship that you have. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them. These are the guardians of the commandments of God. Are you a guardian of his commandment? Do you keep his commandment? That's right. Do you know what God has commanded? When you hear somebody speak, do you know whether it's the commandment of God or they are speaking out of their own mind? How do you do that? Well, Isaiah 8 and 20. To the law and to the testimony. Huh. That's right. If you hear somebody speaking, you check it out. If it's not according to this word, there is no light in the thing. Get away from it. What I'm telling you today, you know, is not immune to this litmus test, so to speak. Check it out with the scriptures. See if I'm telling you the truth. You know, if I'm telling you, then hold on to it. If I'm not, then discard it and get away from it. But I guarantee you, I'm telling you the truth. Jesus said, verily, verily. Now, I say to you, verily, verily also. This is what Jesus said. You know, if you have my commandments and you keep them, well, you are the one that loves me. And when you love me, I'm beloved of that person, beloved my Father, and I will come unto him, manifest myself to him. That's right. You know, manifest, show you secrets. Just because you are keeping his word, you don't have to be an apostle. You know, if you have this relationship with him, he will come to you. He will manifest. He will reveal things unto you. He said it himself. Listen to this. You know, in the next verse, somebody asked him, he said, you know, why will you manifest yourself to us and not the world? Well, he said, well, the reason is because if a man loves me, he will keep my words. That's if a man, not an apostle or prophet or anybody. If a man loves me, he will keep my words. And because he keeps my words, my Father will love him. That's right. And will come to him. Now, you want God to come to you and show you secrets? Well, you keep his word. That's it. You don't have to be called apostle or prophet or pastor or anything. You keep his word. You keep his word. He'll come to you. He'll share secrets with you. That's walking in the prophetic. And everybody can do that. You walk in the prophetic. You're hearing from God. He's sharing secrets with you. Praise God. And it's not necessarily secrets about somebody else. You know, that's a peeping and muttering spirit. Some people like to, you know what's going. That's a peeping spirit. Get away from that. You know, Holy Spirit, first and foremost, he wants you to know the mind of God concerning your own life. You know, now God may show you something to help somebody bring them to the light, but that's not your concern. You know, he's trying to know what's going on in somebody's life. I call it a peeping spirit. And I've known a few people that are like that. They want to see, know what you're doing and so forth. You know, what is that all about? That's a peeping and muttering spirit. Get away from that nonsense. Now, Holy Spirit, though, he will come to you. He will show you things to come, according to John 16 and 13. And Jesus himself said, I'll come to you, you know, and I will make my abode with you. Now, abode, he's right there. Yeah, he's not visiting, he's staying. Praise God. Now, a visitor, you know, after a while must leave. You know, but somebody that stays, stays. Praise God. You know, so, you know, if you go to your friend's house to visit, you know, we spend an hour or two, then you leave. Well, when you are in your house, you know, your children come home, they stay. They're not leaving because they live there. And they're not going to, you know, after a couple of hours, they leave. No, this is where they stay. And Jesus said, I'll come and stay with you. Well, because you keep my word, not because you are, have a title. Now, so you see, I proved it to you by the scriptures that all of us can be in the realm where you're hearing from God. Everybody. You know, you can be in that realm. And the Holy Spirit is the one that is the bridge, you know, that connects us, you know, with heaven. You know, what heaven is saying, the Holy Spirit is connecting it to, with you, and it's telling you, and you're doing. And then you get to the point where you, you know, you've grown to the point where you are now the one saying, and now heaven is doing. See, first it was heaven that was saying, and you are doing. You know, heaven is saying, you're doing. Heaven is saying, you're doing. Heaven is saying, you're doing. You get to the point where, you know, now you say, and heaven does. Praise God. Because first heaven already said it. You just didn't realize that he said it. And then heaven puts it in your heart. Then you say it and heaven confirms it. Jesus said, you, whatever you say on earth, you bind in heaven bind in earth, will be bound in heaven. Why? Because you have a revelation of who the Christ is. And if this Christ is dwelling in you, then you have the power to do these things. I pray that the Lord will give us knowledge. This knowledge is powerful. And if you can get this knowledge, you will walk like the King. Hallelujah. The son of the King that you are. That's even, you know, the ground will sing under you. You know who you are. You know, praise God. Who are you? You are nothing without Christ. For without me, you can do nothing. We are something and somebody because Christ is in us. You know, it's not just about me. I'm just a shell. But Christ is in me. Jesus said it himself. The works I do, I'm not the one doing. The Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth these things. So the same thing with us. For as he is, so are we. Holy Spirit that is in me is the one that's doing. The words I'm speaking to you today, I'm speaking not by myself, not because I went to seminary school to learn it. I learned it of the Holy Ghost. I speak it to you by the Holy Ghost. You too, learn it of the Holy Ghost. You speak it to your household, speak it to your friends, speak it on your job. Manifest the word of God to people. Hallelujah. And then influence a corner where you are. You know, lighten and brighten the corner where you are. That's it. You don't need to go and bring your pastor. Just you do it. Where you are is where God is. You represent him. And he is in you. He's in your, he's with you on your job. He's with you in your house. He's with you while you're driving. Wherever you are, that's where he is. There's no separation. There was separation because of disobedience. That's when God was looking for Adam. Well, now there's no separation. We, God, Holy Ghost have been given to you because you obey God. You know, that's all. If you don't, if you're not obeying God, you cannot have the Holy Spirit. Praise God. You know, so the Holy Spirit is given. Listen to this. Acts chapter 5, verse 30. We are witnesses of these things, and so also the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to them that obey him. So, because we obey him, that's why we have the Holy Ghost, you know. And, well, you know, Adam didn't. He lost the presence. We obey him, so we have a presence. We have the Holy Ghost. So you have the Holy Ghost now, you know. So, yeah, let's walk in that realization. This is not to make our head swell or think we're anything. We're nothing, you know, but this is calling it like it is. You are the Son of God. You are the child of God. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. He wasn't being boastful. Just saying the way it was. You know, if I say that I'm a child of God, I'm a son of God, I've got a Holy Ghost, you know, and I'm not being boastful. I'm just saying it the way it is. You know, so that's the way it is. Jesus even said, look, if I say I don't know God, I'll be a liar like you because I know him, because I came from him. So this is how we must operate. Yeah, don't be like the world. Don't say I can't hear from God. Why not? Don't do all that stuff. You know, you can hear from God and you are hearing from God. You just need to develop yourself, you know, more to hear even more. He that hath will be given even more. When you say you don't have, then even the little you have will be taken from you. So let's not be like that. Now, that's the conclusion of my lesson today. I am going to pray over the room. I pray the Lord empowers you with this knowledge of who you are in Christ. This is what the sons of God are all about. Once you recognize that, we begin to function and move into our role in the kingdom. You know, become agents of change to bring this knowledge, you know, place. And people begin to know it. You know, when there was a revival that I was privileged to experience in the 70s, mid to late 70s. It was because people were getting this knowledge. People were knowing who they were. And no, I can do that. And everybody said, well, I can do that too. You know, jump out. They hear a testimony and then somebody else jump out. Say, well, we can do that. You know, they believe God and God honored it. You know, so there's a revelation that is coming. We need to know who we are. We need to understand what God is doing. That's what this is all about. Praise God. Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word today. Thank you for everyone that's listening. You know, I pray that this word, you know, one man said, well, did not, a couple of disciples said, well, did not this word burn within our hearts as he spoke to us along the way? Well, I pray that, you know, this word will burn in your heart. Praise the Lord. Yeah, your pastor, prophet, or apostle will not always be there with you, but the Holy Spirit is always there with you. And you can be, you know, just like Adam. God said, you're the man. You can handle this. Tell me, what you're going to do? And then, you know, Adam was handling until the day iniquity came in through disobedience. As long as we're obeying the Lord, His presence is there with you. And you can do these things. I can do all things, sir, through Christ, who's in me, strengthens me, and the Holy Ghost that's leading me. Praise the Lord. May the Lord grant us understanding in all things, and the Lord enrich your hearts with the word of God in developing the knowledge, this knowledge of Christ in us and who we are in Him. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.